Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Not going to be many games where you're going to feel like they're in the game.
Yeah, 6 points and four of them from the free throw line. He was 1 of 10 from the field. I think he only had 2 assists, all those turnovers. I mean, honestly, I went back. I was thinking to myself, is that the worst, in recent memory at least, is that the worst stat line for a point guard at Memphis in recent memory? And I went back and your brain automatically goes back to Javon Quinterly. And
yeah.
I went and looked, and he had one game where he was 1 of 13 from the field. But
did he hit was that the game winner that he hit?
No. Somebody hit a game winner. They only won that game by 2. It was against Wichita State. But he was 1 of 13 from the field, but he had 6 rebounds, 8 assists, only 1 turnover. So it's, you know, that's not a great line that Doug had. But to your point, you think about it, it's like, how often is that going to happen? I mean, we don't know. It could be more common than you would like it to be, but it also probably isn't. He was really good in the first 2 games, at least his stat line was. So, you look at it like that. Like, if you get the best version, or certainly a better version of Doug McDaniel than what you got against UNLV, you start to get, you know, Zach Davis and Aaron Bradshaw, things start to click for them. I mean, obviously that's the biggest talking point coming off the UNLV game, is what the heck's going on with those two guys, but especially Aaron. But I've seen enough from Doug, Sincere Parker, Curtis Givens III, Ashton Hardaway, Julius Thedford, Simon Majok, that or Quante Berry too, throw Quante Berry in there. Like, I've seen this, to me, this roster has enough to, if they can just tweak some things, if they can just get some more or something at all from Aaron Bradshaw, Zach Davis, this team, you know, we could be looking back on this in a few weeks and on that UNLV game and being like, I don't know what the heck happened there, but that's not what this team is.
All right, and then lastly, I guess that's kind of where my last question was going to be. Do you suspect we're going to start to see the pecking order in the front court change on Thursday?
Yes, I do. I think it is time. I don't know. You know, to me, it's with Ashton, with Aaron Bradshaw. It's just doing something different with him. Like, what you've tried so far to this point isn't working. You've got to do something different with him. And I think it's different for Zach Davis. He's a different conversation. I think what he's doing is just like he just hasn't exactly settled in yet to the system, I don't think. And he hasn't, I think in a lot of ways he's trying too hard. And I think some of that is also what Aaron Bradshaw is doing, but I do think that they got to do something different with Aaron Bradshaw. And so I do think I mean, Tariq Ingram played, he didn't play much, but he played more than he has been against UNLV. So I think we could see more of him. And I definitely think we're going to see more of Simon Majok.
All right, my man. Enjoy covering this.
Thank you. I will do my best.
That is, of course, Jason Munns, Tiger basketball beat writer for The Commercial Appeal. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we get into the list. Let's talk about those college football playoff rankings. Coach Hurd's Hurricanes may not be dead yet. I think we have a situation, though, where they're still going to be on the bracket for two more weeks, but they may not even be on the bracket when the actual real thing comes out. So we'll talk about all that when we come back right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. George, let's get into the list. The college football playoff rankings. All right, boys. So we did not have any adjustment in the top three. Ohio State remains number one. Indiana at number two. Texas A&M remains at number three. Georgia moves up from 5 to 4. Texas A&M from 6 to 5. Ole Miss from 7 to 6. Oregon from 8 to 7. And I think the first interesting aspect of this was Oklahoma. By virtue of their big win in Tuscaloosa, they move up three spots from 11 to number 8. But I think a lot of people suspected it would just go Oklahoma at 8, Alabama at 9, and Notre Dame at 10. No, no, no. Oklahoma at 8, Notre Dame at 9, Alabama at 10. So what they are telling us is that clearly the head-to-head between Oklahoma and Alabama mattered. But in terms of two lost teams, what they told us last night was they think there's a significant enough difference to rank Notre Dame ahead of Alabama, to which I actually thought this was what was going to happen yesterday, and then Calkins lawyered me and talked me out of it. But I forgot there's only one thing that I'm actually smarter than him on, and that's understanding how playoff committees work. I forgot the number one rule when he was arguing. And the number one rule is, no matter what they say, recency bias matters. When did you lose? Notre Dame has not lost since the second game of the season. Alabama lost last week. Their justification will always be, well, they're playing better. Because even though recency bias doesn't matter, they tell us they're playing better.
Yeah, they do this week to week. It's essentially power rankings on top of it.
Here's what I do think is actually interesting about it. I think it's pretty simple. If Alabama beats Auburn, they're in pretty much no matter what, because I believe in that scenario, there's no way they miss the SEC championship game. Because even if, because Georgia's obviously done with conference play.
Right.
So Georgia cannot finish worse than 7-1. If Alabama beats Auburn, they will be 7-1 with a head-to-head against Georgia. Texas A&M, even if they lose to Texas, I believe what it winds up is, if they lose to Texas, I think we wind up with Alabama and Georgia, because Texas A&M, when you have three one-loss teams, that you have the one head-to-head, so that helps with Georgia, but then the rest becomes the, I think it's the win-loss percentage of your opponents. Alabama's is significantly higher. Basically, it's like, did you beat better teams? And Bama beat better teams, so therefore we wind up with an Alabama-Georgia rematch in the Georgia Dome. But I think it is interesting, because I almost wondered if they were holding the, for the first time, are they really holding the Florida State loss against them? Because in the end, Notre Dame's got, doesn't have, nobody has a better win right now than Alabama. Alabama has a win at number 4. Notre Dame's best win is what, USC?
Yeah, USC.
Is that correct?
That's their best
win. Do they have another, do they even have another ranked win?
I don't think so, because I was watching the show this morning on ESPN that was breaking it all down, and they were saying Notre Dame, pretty much USC was their strongest win, or only top.
Yeah, because
that sounds right.
I think the only other teams they've played, Miami.
And A&M.
So it almost felt like they valued worse loss over better win. Because in the end, Notre Dame's two losses are by a combined 4 points. And Alabama has a multi-score loss at Florida State. I don't know. I could just see where that starts to get a little weird. So then that means at this point, based on the way that it works, like Alabama right now is technically their last team in. Because At 10, that leaves the spot for the ACC champion and then the G5 champion.
Right.
Those would be our remaining two. And yet again, here we are. Miami is the highest-ranked ACC team, and what a wonderful dumb sport this is. Miami is the highest-ranked ACC team, and it is still statistically unlikely that they will even be in the playoff. What a great sport we've done. Now, I do think this is good for your boys, Hurd. Miami is creeping up closer and closer and closer. If they can handle business the next 2 weeks, now Mario's got to realize style points matter, and I do think, in fairness, I think he caught on, because it felt like last week he kept the starters in longer and he kept telling them to score.
Last 2 weeks,
correct. Now it's also possible that like NC State couldn't do much about it, and was it Stanford? Syracuse.
Syracuse
couldn't do much about it, but it does feel like, oh, they're not playing well. All of a sudden, they just beat the crap out of two inferior opponents, and all of a sudden, they start to look a lot better. Well, if you can get up into that situation where you handle these next two teams in a dominant fashion, you're going to be in that situation where you're going to be compared head-to-head in Notre Dame, and they're going to have to sit there and decide, are we really going to ignore it that these two teams have already played, and one team won and the other didn't?
Yes, one great team already has won that deserved to be in. But with that take I was watching this morning, Jeffrey, man, I forgot the lady name. She's a good – man, you didn't talk about her to be on ESPN. But they break down, Jeffrey, was a little crazy. They're saying that if it was to end the day or if it don't play out the right way, they say they think Alabama, is as crazy as sound, the take they get will be on the outside looking in.
So here's where it could get iffy. If BYU wins out and beats Texas Tech.
That's what's one of the scenarios where, yeah.
Now, based on what I saw in Lubbock, I don't know how the result's any different, because that was a game where I think we could have given the ball in high leverage. Like, if the game was on the line, I think we could have given the ball to BYU 20 times. I don't know if they score a touchdown.
They beat them pretty good, right? I don't
know. Oh, Tech, yeah, they smothered. They, but like, when the game was on the line, they could not move the ball at all. Like, their best drive was like a missed field goal. So even though Texas Tech didn't like blow them out of the water, because offensively they were pretty pedestrian, I still don't know how that result's a whole lot different. But let's say four turnovers happen, whatnot. My bigger question, though, is, yeah, I guess that would be it, because they don't really want to penalize Texas Tech for being in that championship game.
Yep, they were talking about that. And they were also saying, even if Texas win out, some people were saying they would be in, some people were saying they still wouldn't be in, even if they beat Texas A&M.
So that's where I think it starts to get complicated, because I actually thought the most significant development last night was they dropped Texas 7 spots to 17. Most likely, they're going to have to move back up to 10. Would that A&M win do it? Because you'd still have, would 9-3 Texas be in front of 10-2 Miami? Would they be in front of 10-2 Vanderbilt? Maybe, because they won the head-to-head.
I mean, 8-3 losses are all powerful now. And they keep saying they don't want to get...
Two of their losses are holding up. Are they really going to be able to get away with the Florida loss?
Hold on, they lost to Florida?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Their losses were obviously week one, Ohio State on the road, in Gainesville by 8, and then at Georgia by 25.
But their argument is,
we would be punishing us for playing Ohio State.
Yeah, and like, we had the balls to do it, or the...
Well, and at this point, the truth is, they are the only team that has played a one-score game with Ohio State. I think they might be the only team that stayed... Weirdly, like, Ohio actually has a decent claim. Let's see. The next closest margin of defeat, they won by 18 at Washington, comfy 39 at Minnesota. They won by 18 at Illinois.
Blanked Wisconsin.
24. Yeah, 34 at Wisconsin, 24 at Penn State, 24 at Purdue.
38.
Comfy
UCLA.
38 last week.
You know what? I don't care how Ohio State do for the next 3 to 5 years. I am on the record saying that nobody say nothing about Ryan Day, because I know
I'll
at one
take that
point
as a challenge. I'll take that as a challenge.
I know people's only buddy.
They got a game in 2 weeks.
I can coach that. I can coach that team. All right, boys, go get them.
No, true. But
play hard.
He has done it. You know, at one point years ago, they were on Ryan Day hard about potentially replacing him. He just won a
coach.
That was last year.
They kicked the tires on firing him after he lost to Michigan. Listen. That decision alone, I had largely, for my most of my life, I had thought that rivalry was wildly overrated. Just because, like, when we remember we did the number one versus number two with who was our boy that Smith won the Heisman?
Charles Smith.
No. No. This is like, oh, this is when I'm in high school. You might have just gotten out. This is like the year that it's like 06. Number one versus number okay. two. The quarterback for Ohio State, I don't think it was, maybe Beanie Wells was on him too. But like, Ohio State wins that game. That should have been the rematch. Then Florida beat him by like 50 points.
Oh, Troy Smith.
Troy Smith. Terrell was like, no, that's Pryor.
I thought about him too in my head, but I'm like, it's not a Smith.
Yeah.
But rivalry is not overrated, though.
The fact that literally, because they lost last year with arguably the, like, I get why they were mad, the fact that they were just so, like, completely, like, mind warped that they lost that game, that they actually like kicked the tires on, all right, who could we get? That to me, I was like, all right, this game's awesome. And I also think like some of the other SEC rivalries have started to lose their luster a little bit. Like, you know, I mean, what is, I don't know, Tennessee, Alabama. The Iron Bowl's still pretty solid.
It was lit this year. Tennessee,
it's still pretty solid. But like Ole Miss, I mean, I covered the peak of it. The Mullen freeze was the peak of absolute pure animosity and hatred. I mean, don't get me wrong, they still hate each other, but it's nothing like it was in that run. Because each coach brought the worst out in the other's fan base. Freeze brought the worst out of Mississippi State fans, and Mullen brought the worst out of Ole Miss fans, and it was just like a complete, like, toxic environment. And then you had each other trying to turn each other in for NCAA violations, one of which was effective against Ole Miss. also, the hat tip to all Ole Miss fans need a reminder that that rivalry also got them out of Hugh Freeze having to pay him $16 million. So you can always thank Steve Robertson for that. But I guess and Tom Mars. And weirdly, Houston Nutt.
Oh, yeah.
Houston had the original phone records because he was trying to get his lump sum payment. But, yeah, I'm in on that rivalry. I think now, though, I weirdly think Miami's actually in a decent spot. The thing is, though, I'm worried about our Canes going to Pittsburgh next week because I think the Canes are a lot like me. If it's like below 50 degrees, we're just worthless.
They're not messing with it.
Correct.
And you know what? I'm kind of like that.
I am 100. My wife sent me today. Have y'all seen the picture of Jordan Phillips last week in the Bills game, Bucks game, where it was like 40 and raining? He legitimately had a parka underneath his jersey, and my wife's like, "This would be you." I go, "No, he doesn't have." He doesn't have sweatpants underneath his actual pants. Like, I would have had his top half looked right. Let's see.
Y'all know when it was super cold 2 weeks ago?
Oh, you mean when I didn't go outside?
On that Sunday, and it lasted all the way to like Wednesday or Thursday, but for some reason it kind of didn't turn back a kind of hot.
Oh, it's great. It was fantastic. There was like a, it was like right after I went, I was like, ooh, it's toasty again.
Yeah, I got to cut my heat back off. So I'm going to tell you how cold.
I got to flip the AC on now.
I'm going to tell you how cold it was. And Jeffrey, the people before me were so smart at my house. They gave me that smart meter that now I can't just flip. It's like 2 hours. No, no, I want it
you
right.
You got the Nest or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, you turn the thing.
Yeah, it's
you
like it'll be ready in 2 hours. Like, no, now. I was like, where's that setting?
Yeah, you can't go from 80 to 60. Like, it's like.
Like, no, that's not what I'm paying my utility bill for.
2.5. But I mess with, but don't mess with the cold. Jeff, do you know all summer I have not parked my car in the garage? The day that it got cold.
Oh, 100%.
I'm in the garage. In the morning, I barely crack it. I crank it up while I'm getting my daughter ready for school.
Oh, you see, this is where remotes start. Like, I don't even think about anything else. Like, it's just, you hit the remote start, like, whenever you decide, like, it's going to be, like, within 7 minutes. I hate the cold so much, I've done remote start and waited so long that the car cut off.
Yes, because on my car now.
I don't know how long, I'd somewhere in that 7 to 10 minute range, but I'm like, is it warm enough yet? I don't know.
Also, only 7 to 10 to get me every time. Well, my car is 30. My old car didn't do nothing, but
I'm not going that long.
No, I didn't.
Trust me, that would be like a feather in my cap if I could, but I've not gone that long.
So do you have a garage?
So we have a garage. My car can't fit into it. My
so
garage
you don't
is
go
just
in a
storage.
Because I was going to say the thing about the garage, even if you do, you have to go and crack it a little. You have to go and like do a quick where it get up a little bit where the exhaust and stuff won't be in
there. So you don't actually like,
kill yourself.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
Oh, that's an all-time great South Park when Cartman didn't want to live anymore and he went and tried to shut the garage door, but he used a hybrid.
South Park was better, I feel like, when we were younger. With Kenny and all them.
It's still, pretty good.
We weren't supposed to be watching it then. Well, I know my mother was the type, if she knew what they was doing, but she didn't really.
Oh, yeah. You see these crude cartoons, and you're like, oh, this is fine.
She just walked back. But I said that, Jeffrey, to say I love the heat so much. I don't know why next week I was supposed to go to Miami. And guess what I'm doing, boys? I'm going to Chicago instead. And it's kind of cool, and I don't know why I made that decision. I was, you know, it's Thanksgiving.
Like, you're going to have to, hang on. You're going to have to talk me through this one.
This is what
happened. Miami was on the table?
So Miami was on the table.
So you made a conscious choice of Chicago over Miami.
And this is how bad it is, guys. I go to Florida for everything, for New Year's. For some reason, Jeffrey, my daughter, we was talking about some stuff, and I realized I didn't have any Chicago memories with her because we go to Florida all the time.
Right.
And a lot of my college coaches' buddies, they got in my house. I was talking to Mauro that's from here at Tennessee. He loves Chicago.
I want to be
Chicago's
clear.
Chicago's awesome.
I love Chicago from, like, May to September.
That's what they say on Chat BC. It's the best
it's
time
awesome.
To go. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's awesome. Now, you might have caught a break. Last week when they played the game at Wrigley, it was like 60 and sunny. So will
it's
that 40 last
and 50 next week? So it's not 20 or nothing.
I don't know. Giannotto sent me a video last weekend of him driving to school in like a snowstorm, and he was just talking about how everybody's built different. I was like, I wasn't even paying attention to the driving. I was paying attention to how miserable I would have been just existing in that environment.
I forgot him. I got him. Yeah.
Oh yeah, he's up there.
Now I have to ask because this is something up my alley. When are you going to Chicago? Is this like in the next couple weeks?
No.
Or?
So I'm going. Oh, no. So you know, I know you guys know, but you know, I raised my daughter.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I have. Yeah. She's full time live with me. So school is out. So I was at one point I was supposed to go to Vegas to the Players.
Oh,
thing.
You're going in May?
No, I'm going Monday.
That's what I thought you said. I thought you said next week.
Yeah.
I'm going, you know, school, get out for Thanksgiving break.
This is insane.
Y'all don't
but
have
yes.
little, you going to know this in a minute when she starts saying married.
I know this because her daycare is on the city school calendar, or whatever, county school calendar.
Okay.
So, yeah, no, I'm always aware of when they're off, but, like, what happened to the good old days of, like, I remember it used to be, like, when we were in, like, elementary school, it was, like, half day Wednesday, you got Thursday and Friday.
Before we go there, it was just Thursday and Friday.
Correct.
At one point.
Then I think they stuck a half
Wednesday,
day in there one day.
Then
like
it
one
was
year.
Full Wednesday.
Yeah.
Then these
the whole
people
week.
Get a whole week. So I'm going to be home for Thanksgiving.
Did she get a fall break too?
And fall break didn't exist when I was in school, not in city school.
That was a private school thing. That was the first thing when I went from public to private school. The greatest thing ever was getting fall break.
Yeah,
it was awesome. It was just like, this was awesome.
But Jeffrey, these are the two things that played into it. Do we work next Wednesday or are we off?
We are working Wednesday.
Okay, I know. So okay.
Coach will be over the phone.
No, I actually might be back in time for that. So we're going. I don't know.
Segment, Coach, with Coach on the phone.
with
his daughter getting held up as she wants to go shopping in Chicago.
I thought last year when I first thought like the day before Thanksgiving, we was out Christmas, we were out in New Year's, that some days, I don't remember.
Oh, we used to get a bowl season.
I was about to say, I could have sworn around Christmas we were starting to get into the bowl season.
Yeah, Thanksgiving's most always been the same, where we work Wednesday, but we're off Thursday, Friday.
Okay, it's Thursday, Friday. So that was the one thing, guys. It's going to be quick. I'll be back for Thanksgiving. The second thing, have y'all ever done this before? This is going to sound weird. Look how George looking. I have planned on going somewhere, right? And let's say I procrastinated too long. And that flight.
I'm with you. Continue.
And that flight has been more expensive than I had planned on when I picked me, my daughter, and somebody else.
I just looked at this last week. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
That last week.
Yeah.
Was.
But this last week is always a very loose definition of time.
This is what I have done crazy for my birthday. I end up in Houston when I'm supposed to be there. Then I go through and I put in just Seattle, New York, whatever. And who got a good price? For some reason, the Miami junk, the one I wanted, went up to $8. The Chicago tickets for Monday through Wednesday on only American, because even on United, they said only
check Southwest?
Southwest, they force them. They're only $200.
On United?
On American. No, United, they're
I wish you six, well.
And
speed.
Yeah.
It's a straight flight, though.
I wish you well. That's never stopped American before.
So I end up in some cities before George, and just because it was a good price. Because I believe in spending money once I get there. I don't believe in spending a lot of money trying to get there if I can.
Just never forget, Southwest had multiple days where their computer system completely was wiped out and they did not have any flights throughout the entire country. I believe it was multiple 48-hour periods. Americans still went the calendar year with more cancellations and delays. That's next to impossible. Now, they claim that they're picking it up. But I wish you well.
I was asking about Miami because you had said
Miami's in another American hub, right?
I believe so. Because that's where they're doing the Winter Classic this year. Down in Miami.
Really?
So, but that's around.
Can't wait for that ice to hold up.
Oh, yeah. That'll be great. I think they're doing it at Hard Rock.
Yeah, that'll be a slushy.
You know what I'm going to do this year? Listen to the weather, man. And that week that we get to that it's been snowing the last 3 years in February, like the movies when the bad guys got to get away for the police, I want to be able to fly out like the day, you know. When
the day before the snow?
Yes.
It's going to be inside. They're doing it at Lone Depot.
Okay. Well, that's not the Winter Classic then.
Sure it is.
I thought the Winter Classic's in a stadium. I thought that's the whole point.
Yeah, but they're doing one in Florida this year, so they're doing it at a ballpark with a roof.
That doesn't count. That's just a game.
That's just a game at a baseball stadium instead of a...
Oh, Lone Depot. Well, I don't know. I was mixing up. I thought you were saying, whatever, Amelia. What is the...
No. They're in Miami.
They're playing
they're
in the Marlins. Now that counts.
Okay, that one counts?
Yeah. That counts. Just baseball stadiums count. It has to be outdoors.
Well, they're going to have the roof shut.
Yeah, but it's still going to look enough like a stadium.
Fair.
Like, if it's an actual...
Also, did you know it's not called Amelie anymore in Tampa?
No.
They have a new naming right.
Did Amelie get bought, or...
I think it's just a new naming thing for the arena. It's like Benchmark International now or something.
I used to pride myself, Herd, on always knowing what stadiums used to be. I can tell you right now, whatever Amelie is going to be referred to, there's going to be a 0.0% chance.
Oh, it's for this year. It already has a new
name.
Yeah,
but what I'm saying is...
It's always going to be Amelie.
Yeah, but even like... I'm just at the point where I just won't remember what stadiums... Like the other day, we somehow got on a rabbit hole of, do you remember all the names of the Titans stadium?
Oh, geez.
Tennessee Titans?
Correct. So I believe... I'll start with... I believe it opened as... Adelphia Coliseum.
That sounds right.
It's obviously been Nissan.
It's been Nissan for a little bit.
Yeah, Nissan, right.
I want to say there was a period of no sponsorship, and it was just either the Coliseum or like Titan Stadium. The one that I had forgotten, LP Field. That was one of those ones where I could have guessed for 10 minutes and I wouldn't have gotten it. LP Field, I remember it, but it's like that's just something that will never come to mind. Somehow, weirdly, Nissan Stadium sticks a lot easier. Adelphia Coliseum, I still have no idea what Adelphia even did. Like, are they still a company? Were they a tech company? Like an original .com company that never lasted?
It might be insurance.
It also bothered me when they called it a Coliseum. It's like, that's not a Coliseum. It's not round.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's not.
It's got to be round. Got to have the enclosed. Oh, you can't just have open end zones.
I don't even know what that company did.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to find.
There's probably a reason why they're not sponsoring NFL Stadium anymore. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about this Nico Harrison story that we got from Tim McMahon, get coach's thoughts on it, because it's obviously going to be somewhat of a tell your story because it's coming from ESPN.com, and they're not going to really rock the boat with the National Basketball Association, but I thought it laid it out somewhat fairly. We'll see if coach agrees. We'll talk about it next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, Coach, over at ESPN.com, Tim McMahon, who largely pretty much like the NBA's Mavericks insider, he has written the kind of the full obituary of what has happened since Nico has been fired, and what led to it, the aftermath, and the precipice of it is, in the end, it became a Mark Cuban fought his way back in. So, for those that will remember, because Tim even uses this quote, that when it was first announced that Cuban was selling the team, it actually came as a fairly big shock, because Mr. NBA cheerleader, this is a guy that was on the record of like, I'm never selling. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, you know, the business is always great. Everything's great. And this actually led people, myself included, to wonder, this is before they got the new TV deal. Oh, is that TV deal going to not be as high as people think? It turned out, no. It was well over most industry expectations. And so, basically, when it was announced that he was selling the team, he was still going to run basketball. And Tim even includes the anecdote that I'd totally forgotten that Cuban used to do this. When Cuban, on days that there'd be games after shoot around, he would do like his own 3-point shooting, and then he would go over and talk to reporters. And he even included the anecdote that Cuban, after the sale, said, the only thing that's changing is the number in my bank account. I'm still running basketball. To the point that he even told the team after the game, brought him in the locker room and said, nothing's changing. I'm still running basketball. Well, Tim McMahon says that the two people that were least excited about this, one would obviously be Nico, but the other one that was actually kind of news to me was Jason Kidd.
Mm.
Nico obviously thought that Cuban meddled, but even Kidd thought that Cuban meddled too much. Well, the other things I thought were interesting in it, maybe this had been said, but I'd always wondered, because I'd heard Cuban recruited Nico from Nike. He basically, the Cuban and Nico are never quoted specifically, but it's like sources next to them, which might have also been, I'm not putting my name on it, but whatever, they'll talk to Tim. Cuban essentially alleges what he brought Nico in for was he was tired of finishing second in free agent deals. And he thought Nico's relationships with players and with agents would help them in free agency. But he never brought him in to actually run basketball. That was still always going to be Cuban. Well, when Dumont gets the team, Nico makes the moves at the deadline for PJ Washington. Who else was on that?
That big boy that catch
Gafford.
Alice.
Gafford. Yeah. Makes the moves for Gafford and for PJ. And after the deadline, they went 16-4, basically went from play-in range to the 5 seed, and they went all the way to the NBA Finals. So Dumont, who tried to kind of play both sides a little bit, when Nico went to Dumont, the new owner/governor, basically he was like, wait, what's the deal? Who, like, I just would rather work just for you. Dumont was like, listen, Mark is a friend. I will run things by him, but he is not, like, in the end, you answer to me. So when they make those moves and then they go to the finals, Dumont's sitting there going like, Nico's got the golden touch. Can do no wrong. And the story essentially lays out, the Nico trade goes exactly as follows. The way that it has been reported, where he cut the deal with, not Bob Myers.
Lakers guy.
It's not Mitch Kupchak. Kupchak was the old one. It's the other agent.
The other agent.
Played
Kobe
at Michigan.
Agent.
Kobe's agent played at Michigan.
Pelinka.
Rob Pelinka.
Rob Pelinka.
When he cuts the deal with Pelinka, essentially, Nico relays the same talking points to Dumont that essentially Pelinka convinced Nico of. We can't involve multiple teams because it'll leak and the deal will fall through. And the other key aspect of it was Nico's biggest problem was if we give Luka the Supermax, so within 5 years, $345 million, he appealed to Patrick Dumont's, like, essentially investment banking brain and said this would be a terrible deal. Luka's already had injury issues, whatnot. This would be a bad investment. And Dumont essentially was like, well, Nico can do no wrong because he's not really a basketball guy. Like, he has been an investment banker and then working for the Las Vegas Sands company, which he married into and, like, worked his way up through that, which is just a gambling outfit. Well, essentially what then happens is obviously the reaction of the fan base. What was Tim's stat? Luka has more 40-point games, I think, now than the Mavericks have wins. I think that's the stat. Essentially, Cuban viewed all of the reaction as his path back in. And now, after Nico got fired, the story kind of conveys that Cuban's not like the primary, like Dumont's still at the top, but like Cuban's now at the table with a few other people. I don't know. It came across as more believable, but like it did just get me like racking my brain. Like in the end, like he is solely going to be remembered for this one thing, this one trade. And this is a man that made his way up from a field rep.
Yeah, I think like a field rep working in the locker rooms all the way to the top.
I mean, this man has, how many AAU tournaments do you think he's been at?
Nico Harrison has, I mean, he didn't get to the point he even passed AAU. I mean, Nico Harrison is pretty
big. That's what I'm saying. Like, but think like where he started.
Yeah.
And like, basically made it up like, what, the top five of the company?
Yeah.
I mean, he's basically not head of basketball, but like number two of basketball, right? Worldwide?
Yeah, and probably at some points number one in America, in North America.
It is amazing that like, it is actually like one of the true like American success stories. And all he's going to be remembered for is this one trade.
Which I think is a tad unfair.
It is unfair. I mean, the other thing is he got paid, so.
Yeah, he got paid. But like somebody was just saying, Barkley, a good friend of his, people actually think if it wasn't for injuries, although the Lakers won, they think the Mavericks would be really good, especially after getting the number one pick. Like if you had a healthy Kyrie Irving from day one and a healthy Anthony Davis, with all the other players they got on their team, and Cooper Flags wasn't out there, how you going to do an experiment project and playing somebody at the point in the NBA? They never played point before. Like,
I don't know. I almost think like it also is doing, I feel like it's doing such a disservice to Flag. Like, does that really make him a better basketball player? Like, I understand there's some parts of what else you got, but is that really going to make him better?
No, it's making him, the team, everyone not look good. And so I think that was part of, and then another thing I wanted to know was like, is D'Angelo Russell that bad now? Because that's who I would have put a veteran point guard in there. Jason Kidd is a point guard, one of the best ones ever, maybe top five or so, top five or 10. But D'Angelo Russell came over and didn't start. And I'm like, what are we doing? I know Kyrie. So that just led.
The only thing I would say to that is D'Angelo Russell does not feel like a point guard Jason Kidd would like.
Why did he pick him up?
I mean, wasn't he just a part of the deal to make the money work?
No, he was a, I think he came.
Is he an acquisition?
Yeah, he came from Brooklyn Nets or something. He didn't have nothing to do with this is his first year there.
I don't have a great answer for you.
Yeah, so it's like you pick him up. You got Cooper Flagg playing the point. It's hurting the team. It's hurting him. So that's why people think it was unfair to at least fire him before all the pieces, you know, that he really never, because you see what he did, because he put them on the map, like you just said, with the bringing over PJ.
I guess the only thing is, you're trading for a player that's now in his 30s that's never stayed healthy. How unfair is it to be like, or how reasonable is it to think like, oh, this year it's different?
I think the trade was bad, Jeffrey, but what I give him credit on, and the basketball guy's been on his side, once they got the number one pick, and it so happened to be Cooper Flagg, I think we could have made rest with this if everybody was healthy. I think if Cooper, you're starting three, and you have Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis, you still do some good things. Now, the thing that I hate personally about what you just said about this story, and this could even be out of bounds and suggest my personal life period, I don't care what problems, because I deal with this in sports often too, and maybe just me as my integrity and as a man. I don't care what problems I have with somebody, Jeffrey. It's just like if you invite me to you get a new show and invite me to it, right? And I get cool with your boss. How can Jason Kidd or Nico have, even if he yapped too much, this guy hired both of y'all? This guy brought y'all in.
And didn't Jason
didn't he like navigate his way to Dallas? Because he had like other options. Like,
I can't stand it in business. I see it so much. I can't stand like y'all. Yeah, he might be a little irritated. Maybe y'all want him and Jerry Jones to stay in the box. I get it. But he, because there's some people that have questioned Jason Kidd coaching too, like, or whatever.
Giannis. Huh? I think he might be the original, because I've always said Giannis is the most silent coach killer of all time.
Yeah, I hear he'd be, yeah. He be.
But you know, dad jokes. Ha ha ha.
So I don't get this.
He likes chicken nuggets like us.
Yeah, like.
<That's> funny.
Like Nico. Dude, he actually brought you into a position ever so for me, even if. If Mark Cuban would have did that for me, if the story you're saying true.
Yeah.
Even if he didn't work for the organization, though, more, I would still be like, hey, what you think about this? You know, just from a respect factor, even a mentor, even though I'm Nico Harris, I'd have made some great decisions in life to move from where I don't
work.
I still think, do you kind of see what I'm saying? So, because it felt like Nico got in trouble where he went, now he's at the owner, and now the owner fully trusts him.
Where I think Nico got in trouble. A, making the deal. But where Nico really got in trouble was he saw the opening of Cuban doesn't actually have grounds to be a decision maker. If I just ignore him and go straight to the new owner, that's my path. And like, that's how I become primary decision maker. And it actually, I mean, the truth is,
it worked.
That worked. The problem is he had no other, like there's no one else to blame. When the Luka thing blows up in your face, you don't have a fall guy.
That was a pretty big, like, he had some heart to do that. But if you think about what you just said, Jeffrey, a guy that didn't beat the odds like him, you can sometimes start being too smart for your own good.
Yeah, you can definitely believe in yourself probably a little too much.
Yeah, you for real. You can start thinking like, man, I didn't have, because you know, Nico worked with, no disrespect to Luka, Nico worked, you know, Kobe and all them. So he kind of, not starstruck or think like Luka the best actually, ever. You know what I mean?
I think that's the problem is that his view of a great player was Kobe. And yeah. Luka ain't going to be Kobe in terms of dedication to the craft. Luka's more of what we'd refer to as natural. Feel player. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, boys. For today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story. Lane Kiffin was on the SEC teleconference today. And he was asked if it's flattering or overwhelming to have three different fan bases after his service. Here's what Lane said. It doesn't feel good on this call. Somehow it's got spun really negatively. If programs want your coach, it should be looked as a great thing by your fans. Or would you rather be 5-6 or 6-5 and no one wants your coach? It's not that people are upset that they want you. It's the fact that you're like kind of spitting on them. Feels like as you're leaving. That seems to be the issue.
Want to thank Jason Muntz for being on the program. If you missed anything, it will be on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Coach, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. Gabe Kuhn Show coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.